Hola, Spanish Loopers, to this new episode of Spanish Loops. Jorge, you should be on the other side of the microphone. Hola.
Should I?
You should.
I am.
That's good. Hola, Jorge.
Hola, Francisco. How are you doing today?
Doing great. And, well, what are we going to be talking today?
Well, today I think the topic we're going to talk today is about something really interesting because I have experienced myself and also you yourself by all means that there are many places in the United States of America that they are named after Spanish sites and also cities, important cities, either historically or actual cities that they have Spanish names. Don't you think?
Yep, you are right. That's what we're going to be talking today. American cities with Spanish names. But to start with, why don't we, instead of going first to cities, what about the states? I mean, we have seven states that have Spanish names.
Okay, let me say the first one.
Okay, let's see if you know the seven of them.
The seven of them?
Uh-huh. Whoa. Start with one.
Okay, Colorado.
Colorado. Why is this Colorado? What does it mean?
Because the river that crosses all that area, the color of the land and the color of the earth is so red. And red in Spanish is, it could be rojo or colorado.
So Colorado is a Spanish word. Okay. Another state?
Oh, you're testing me. Montana. Yep. Montana.
Mm-hmm. How is the state of Montana? Don't they have
Montana,
mountains?
Montana, we have to say that it's a kind of distortion of the word montaña, because, you know, we have in the Spanish alphabet, we have the N with a little apostrophe on top that is called Ñ, that letter. So they just decided to drop the apostrophe off, and it's called Montana. And that is because how mountainous the area is. There is so many ranges of mountains, so it's Montana.
Okay, you have two.
New Mexico.
New Mexico. There we go. Nuevo Mexico.
That's right. New Mexico. It was part of the Spanish Vice Kingdom up until very early in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the War of Secession with Mexico and all that. That's it. But that's Nuevo Mexico. There we go. You have four to go.
Well, I'm not sure about this one, but Utah, could it be one of them?
Yes, but that's... It's 7+1, and yes, Utah is one of them. That is the plus one. Do you know where it comes from?
You tell me where it comes from.
So Utah, it's not a Spanish word, but in Utah, we had a Native American tribe called the Apaches, and the Apaches, they used to say Yuda. Yuda, we couldn't say it. It is written Y-U-D-A-H. So when the Spanish... people went there, they say Utah, Y-U-T-A, Utah, Utah. That's how it came out. So it's a distortion of a Native American word that the Spanish didn't know how to pronounce. So it is Utah.
Out of the eight, I've got 3+1, okay?
3+1.
Okay, what about Florida?
There we go, Florida.
The land of the flowers, Florida in Spanish, the land of the flowers.
The man who settled in. There was Juan Ponce de Leon, and it was Easter Day. It was beautiful spring day. Everything was flowery. Florida.
Okay, what about California?
That is one of the ones that... So now
you're telling me that it's not eight, it's 7+1+1?
Yeah, because California is one of those that's like, I'm not quite sure if we take it as a Spanish. Why do you say it's a Spanish word?
Well, it was a writer at the time in the late 1500s that wrote a book, and he just imagined like a paradise, and he just gave the name of that paradise, you know, he named it California. So actually, it wasn't a physical place. It was something out of the imagination of the writer.
That's why I'm not saying that is a Spanish word. Because it's not in our vocabulary.
Okay, whatever.
Okay. What else do you have?
Something is snowy?
How do you say that?
Nevada. That's right. Nevada. Yeah, Nevada. Because of snow, precisely. Yeah.
Exactly, for the snow. And then we have the two difficult ones. One, What is something very dry? How do you say in Spanish?
Seco.
Okay, another word. Árido.
Árido. Oh, Arizona.
Arizona. There we go. In Spain, a dry land, we say it's arid. Arizona.
Yeah. Ew, good one.
Zone that is arid.
Nice. Well, thank you.
And we still have one more, which is, well, I think it's the funny
one. I'm going to be here so generous. I'm going to let you say that.
Oh, thank you so much. That has to be Texas.
Uh-huh.
And you might wonder, Texas? That's not a Spanish word. Well, you know that English-speaking people, they cannot say the letter J, the J sound.
Yeah, it's like my name in Spanish, Jorge.
It's so difficult for them to say it.
I know.
So
yeah.
In Texas, if you take the X out and you change it to our sound, the J, it is Texas.
Texas.
What is a teja in Spanish?
Teja is a roof tile.
It's a roof tile. Yeah. Back then, they were reddish.
Yeah, they're reddish and also curved.
How's Texas? The image that we have of Texas, reddish. Reddish
True.
Land.
Yeah.
So those are the seven states plus one that have Spanish names.
Mm. Well, look at that. And those are states. My goodness.
Those are states, which I think, preparing for this podcast, the two of us were like, oh my God, there's so many. We were like totally shocked. So really, it has been something incredible. So yeah, we have a 7 plus 1 plus 1 states that have Spanish names. And there in some of the states, in the United States, there are some counties that have Spanish name. Probably the one that has more Spanish names is the state of California, that 60% of the names of the counties are Spanish heritage. I think it's like, wow.
And that probably is because of the missions that were held in the area at the time when the misioneros just were, you know, hanging around.
Yeah, there we go.
Fran, do you have any city that you really like, is your favorite, or you know a little bit of history about?
Well, you know, our listeners know, that I spent a couple of years of my life in L.A.
Uh-huh, that's right, yeah.
L.A. is Los Angeles, the Angels. Okay? Uh-huh. That's the name of it.
Yep.
And L.A., it was founded, let's say, by a Franciscan monk, Juan Crespi, Father Juan Crespi. The Franciscan monks are the ones who went over there, who went to California and also to New Mexico, all of that. And so the Franciscan monks, they are devoted to St. Francis of Assisi. And in Assisi, there is a church that is called the Holy Mary of Porciuncula. I always didn't say it's holy. In that church, the Holy Mary, she's all surrounded by angels, by angels. So this Franciscan monk put the name of the Our Lady of Los Angeles, Our Lady of the Angels, to the city of LA, to that area. Really, for example, the river that goes through the city of LA, it is called Our Lady of Los Angeles of Porciuncula. Always thinking about the Holy Mary that is in Assisi, where the founding father of the Franciscan monks was from.
Francisco, do you know that there is a very, very, very extremely modern influence of Spain, Spanish culture, in the heart of the city of Los Angeles right now?
Which one?
It's the cathedral.
Well, please, you're touching my heart.
I know, that's
who
why I'm saying that.
Who designed that? The Cathedral of Los Angeles.
Rafael Moneo, of course.
Rafael Moneo, it's a Spanish architect. It's not Spanish. Well, besides being Spanish, he's from my hometown. He's from Pamplona.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, a little bit of my heart, it's in the Cathedral of Los Angeles.
I have been in that cathedral. I have to say, it's really impressive. Coming from Europe, our listeners must understand that our cathedrals here, we don't have modern cathedrals in the sense that modernity, architecture, but considering that Los Angeles is relatively a new city and it's been expanded for the last century so widely and so big, that cathedral is really, really impressive. And of course, it's the stamp of Rafael Moneo is in every corner. But what really surprised me a lot in that cathedral was the the modern structure together with Baroque touches inside. It was absolutely fantastic, that mix of styles inside. It was really shocking, but in a very, very good way. Actually, I like going into the cathedrals, not because of the religious thing, it's just because of the art inside. And I have to tell you, Francisco, can you believe I spent like about 4 hours inside of the cathedral just looking around and just sitting there admiring everything?
It is really the work of art of Rafael Moneo. It's amazing. It's the structures are very cubic, very simple lines. And I think to a religious building, let's just not say it's a cathedral, it's a religious building, it's a place of introspection, it's a beautiful thing. And then you have this Baroque touches, it's like incredible. So yeah, I think it's one of those cathedrals, modern cathedrals, that will not leave you speechless. I mean, it leaves you speechless. It's like, wow.
Yep. I went there and I've seen that. And I felt that precisely.
And having Jorge speechless, that's a big thing.
Yeah, true. That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, so that was one of my favorite cities. What about you, Jorge? Is there a city that you love or you like in the United States that has a Spanish name?
Well, you have gone a little bit on your emotional side because you spent a couple of years in LA. But I'm going to go here historical, okay? Actually, this is a place I don't know. It is in my bucket list, but I'm going to talk about on the historical side of a place which is in the state of Florida, and it's the city of San Agustin, or San Agustin, which is, believe it or not, the oldest continuously inhabited European established settlement in the continental United States.
Really? Wow, I had no idea about that one.
Well, yeah, that's right, Francisco. It really is, you know, and located in what today is Northeast Florida. It was founded by the Spanish in 1565, 42 years before the English founded Jamestown, and 55 years before the Pilgrims landed in Plymouth Rock. That settlement, San Agustin, began with the exploration of Florida by the Spanish, who were searching for new territories to conquer and colonize. It was Juan Ponce de León, who previously explored the Bahamas and Puerto Rico, that became the first European to set foot in Florida in 1513. He named the land La Florida, as we said earlier, land of the flowers, and claimed it for Spain. It was in 1565 when the Spanish explorers, led by Admiral Pedro Méndez de Avilés, sailed to Florida with a fleet of ships and a mission to establish a permanent settlement. Fernández founded San Agustin on September the 8th, 1565, and named it after the Catholic saint Agustin of Hippo. The settlement was established to protect Spanish interests in the New World and to serve as a base for further exploration and colonization.
I mean, being in Florida, to me, kind of makes a lot of sense because it is, let's say, the closest by ocean to Spain. So really, it was a perfect settlement for all of, you know, if you have to ship anything to the United States, to the Americas, or from the Americas, that would be a perfect port to bring things in or ship things out.
Well, it makes sense what you're saying. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Actually, you know, makes sense because it very quickly became an important hub of Spanish power in the region. It was at the moment, it served as the capital of Spanish Florida, and it was the center of political, economic, and religious activity in the area. They even constructed a fortress, the Castle of San Marcos, to protect the city from attacks by all the European powers and the Native American tribes who inhabited the region.
Yeah, I mean, really, as you're saying, in Florida, there are a lot of cities that have Spanish names. I have to say that one of the cities that it's close to me, I've never been there as well, it is called Navarra, which is the state I come from. It is right across the bay from Pensacola. So it's a beautiful little tiny little corner of Florida. It's called Navarra, which is where I come from. So, hey, I love it.
I wonder why it took you so long to say that.
Well.
Well, I have to tell you just one more thing about this very first settlement of Spaniards in the continental United States. It was during the 19th century. San Agustin became part of the United States as part of the Adams-Onis Treaty in 1819, that ceded Florida to the United States in exchange of recognition of Spanish claims to Texas. Nowadays, the place has become as a popular tourist destination and center of historic preservation. So, Francisco, here is my first out of the two inputs of places in the United States named under Spanish names. Tell me, or let us know, everybody, your second choice, please. We are just here, just expecting your second one. I thought it was going to be Navarra, but you have already mentioned that.
Well, so there is 2+1. No. So my second one, it is San Antonio in Texas. San Antonio, it was founded by a Franciscan monk, and it gave its name to another Franciscan monk, which is San Antonio de Padua. The thing is that the founder, the Franciscan monk, his name was also Antonio, Fray Antonio Olivares. Okay, this was 1718. But it didn't sound good to put your own name to the city where you're establishing. So he said that, no, it's not following my name. It is following the name of the saint, San Antonio of Padua. Okay, San Antonio of Padua is not a Spanish saint, by the way. And it's not Padua in Italy. He died there, San Antonio de Padua. In 1231, San Antonio de Padua, he was born in Lisbon, in Portugal. Okay, so he's a Portuguese saint that went to Italy, and in Italy he died. But the city takes the name of this saint. The thing is that in 1718, it is settled, Father Antonio Olivares. And by 1730, five families from the Canary Islands in Spain, they settled in that area. Okay, so the first settlement, big settlement in that area, it was people from the Canary Islands in Spain. Okay. Also around San Antonio, we have, again, a lot of missions. Okay, you have to understand, our listeners, it's that the importance of the Franciscan monks going over there and spreading word of Jesus and on, it was huge. And they created missions, we say misiones. For example, El Alamo. El Alamo. We always think about the cowboy movies. Well, the Alamo, it was a mission founded by the Franciscan monks. And El Alamo is a Spanish word. Alamo, it's a tree, it's a poplar.
Francisco, so, do you know what the word Alameda means?
Well, a place where there are alamos.
Correct. That's right. Okay. Yeah, that's why all over Spain, there are many cities with what some of the main streets are called Alameda of whatever. You know, so yeah, it's a rooted word that has given name to many places in Spain, but not also in Spain, but as you're mentioning now, El Alamo in the United States of America.
I guess there were poplars, alamos, in El Alamo, in that area.
That's right.
Another mission is El Paseo del Rey. El Paseo del Rey in Spanish. So what does it mean? It means the... How do you say El Paseo?
I would say the walkway of the monarch.
Okay, the walkway of the king, of the monarch. Yeah. So, yeah. As you can see, in this area in Texas, we had a lot of Franciscan fathers creating missions, cities, and all of that. So that's where it comes, the big area around it, where we're going to find, again, a lot of names. In Texas, we have a 53%, I've read, of counties that have Spanish heritage. So California was 60, Texas is 53. So I think it's crazy to have so many.
Yeah, well, it's geographically located in the southern part of the entire United States, which most of it was, as we mentioned earlier, Spanish territory until, you know, early 1800s. So it's kind of normal that they still preserve those names.
Yeah, I mean, everywhere in southern Texas, we're going to find El Paso, which is the crossway. So we have a lot of Spanish words also, especially in the south of Texas. So Jorge, that was my second city in the United States with a Spanish name. Which one is your second city?
Well, Francisco, I'm going to go again on the historical side. Okay. And it is another place that it is also in my bucket list. I mean, you have been to the United States many times, so have I, and we don't have time, even if we take 3 or 4 weeks to visit the entire country. It is impossible. It's like 50 countries in one, just the extension of everything, isn't it?
Everything is too big. I mean, we need to go 100,000 million times to discover America. And I think that's a great thing that maybe our listeners, they don't value enough. It's the differences, the cultural differences from one state to the other, the amazing food that we find in one state and the amazing food in the different states. So really, the cultural thing of the United States is so such a large country that it's impossible as a tourist to discover it in once. I mean, I don't know how many times both of us have been in the United States, and we don't even know a portion of the United States. But anyway, yeah. Getting away from the topic, Jorge, what is your second city, the one that is also on your bucket list?
Santa Fe in New Mexico.
Okay, I've never been there either.
Neither have I. And it is on my bucket list, seriously. And well, let's place, everybody knows where Santa Fe is located. It's in the northern part of New Mexico. And believe it or not, Francisco is the oldest capital city in the United States. In the other city, I said before, it was the very first city, but this is a capital city, okay? And it's situated in the foothills of Sangre de Cristo Mountains and has a very, very rich and colorful history that dates back more than 400 years. Originally, it was inhabited by Native American tribes, such as the Pueblo people, who were known for their adobe buildings, agriculture, and craftsmanship. It was in 1607 that the Spanish founded Santa Fe as the capital of New Mexico, or Nuevo Mexico, as a province of New Spain. The city was named after, guess who, Francisco?
Please, illuminate us.
San Francis of Assisi.
Again.
Of course. As you have said, it was the patron saint of the Franciscan order, and it became an important trade center for the Spanish Empire, which goods such as silver, textiles, and livestock passing through the city of the Camino Real, the one you just mentioned, and the trade route that linked Mexico City to Santa Fe. I'm not going to get here into, you know, since the moment that the Spaniards were there. I'm just going to jump to the 19th century that Santa Fe played an important key role in the expansion of the United States. It was in 1846, during the Mexican-American War, that General Stephen Kearny and his troops occupied Santa Fe without firing a shot, and the city became part of the United States. The city was briefly the capital of the Independent Republic of New Mexico, which was established in the same year, 1486, and became the capital of the newly formed Territory of New Mexico in 1850. Since then, you know, the rest of the 19th century and the 20th century, Santa Fe continued to grow and prosper. The arrival of the railroad was a very important influx for tourists, artists, and entrepreneurs to the city, attracted by its natural beauty, rich history, and the culture. And it was in the mid-20th century that Santa Fe became a center for the preservation and promotion of Native American cultures. The Indian Arts and Crafts Act of 1935 established the Indian Arts and Crafts Board, which sought to protect Native American artists and their traditional crafts from fraud and exploitation. Anyway, well, Francisco, we have shared here a couple of places, each of us. And I mean, I would love this podcast, this specific episode, to last for much longer. But, you know, unfortunately, we don't have time. We might, you know, in the future, why not just to develop another couple of cities, each of us, regarding Spanish heritage in the United States. What do you think about that?
I mean, there are so many cities that have Spanish names. Okay, why don't we make a little, you know, from top of the head, try to make a list very quick of as many cities as we can come out, okay?
Okay, like a contest. All right. Tink-tock, tick-tock.
Okay, I'll start. San Francisco.
Los Angeles.
San Antonio.
I would say now Pensacola in Florida.
Okay, we have to talk about San Agustin.
In Florida, that's right. And
this is also a Madrid where you live.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Can you believe there is another one called New Madrid?
Okay, so we have a Madrid and a New Madrid in the United States?
Yep.
Okay, fine. Okay, we also have a Cordoba.
Granada.
Seville. Not Sevilla, oh. Seville.
Seville, yeah. There's another one called Salamanca. Yeah, of course, Salamanca. Yeah.
Where is my son studying in college? Valencia.
There you go. There's another one called Leon.
Okay, from the Basque country, we have Laredo.
Durango.
Another Basque one.
Yep.
Then we have, right, in Galicia, we have Coruña.
Yep. Addis from the south of Spain.
Okay, brain. Okay, well, it's not a city, but it's a river, Ebro.
Ebro, that's right, yeah. And also, we have your hometown, also placed, like you mentioned earlier, Navarra.
There we go. Well, I have one more. I don't think I can come up with anything else. It's Holy Toledo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, of course. Holy Toledo, yeah.
I don't know. Well, do you have any other ones?
Oh, my goodness.
Out of my head, but probably.
Well, I have a location, which is in the Northwest Pacific, which is the Strait of Juan de Fuca, who was a Spanish navigator, and he opened a route among all the islands that is on the Northwest Pacific.
There has to be so many more Spanish names. That would be a great thing if our listeners could share with us cities in the United States that has Spanish heritage. Please let us know. We would love to know. The more, the better.
Yep, we would love to. Well, Francisco, thank you very, very much indeed for this little chat that we had today. I hope our listeners enjoyed that. And I will see you next week. Thank you so much. Have fun.
See you everybody next week. Adios, amigos.
And as usual, we want to thank all our listeners for being there every week, letting us sharing our talks. Follow us in Spanish Loops in Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite platform.
And in Instagram, you can find us as the Spanish Loops Podcast, no spaces, all together. If you want to find us the quickest way, just Google Spanish Loops Podcast and you will find us. Hasta la vista, amigos.
See you next week.